Welcome to the championship rounds, guys. A lot of stuff to cover today, but just wanted to mention to all the listeners out there that I'm available on multiple apps. So if you wanted to follow more coverage, more breakdowns, more predictions, follow, stream, or download me on Anchor, Google Podcasts, Breaker, Pocket Casts, and Radio Public. And now, most importantly, Spotify. That's it for now. Let's get on with the show.
This is the Championship Rounds with your host, Matthew Amayo.
Hey guys, what's going on? It's October 20th, it's Saturday. What's going on with everybody today? It's getting a little bit quiet in the fight world. I think we need a little bit of excitement. We got a fight tonight. I'll go over that in a couple minutes. I know most of you caught up with postseason baseball and with the NBA being here and all. But don't let those things distract you with all the buzz going on in combat sports. I think the biggest story coming out of this past week is Canelo Alvarez signing his contract with DAZN. Arguably the biggest star in boxing signs with the premier streaming service for fights in DAZN. The contract reportedly worth $365 million. Yes, I said $365 million. This is over 11 fights for the next 5 years. The first fight on his contract is against Rocky Fielding, and I have no idea where Golden Boy Promotions got that guy from. Never heard of that guy in my life. If you guys don't know what the hell I'm talking about, DAZN is a newly created sports streaming service, much like ESPN Plus. They offer major fights throughout the year for both MMA and boxing for a monthly fee of $9.99. Talking about this is actually a perfect segue into today's main topic. But before we do that, let's go over some things going on in MMA. We had yesterday Luke Rockhold pulled out of his fight against Chris Weidman at UFC 230, which would have been the co-main event to Daniel Cormier and Derek Lewis for the UFC heavyweight title in New York City, Madison Square Garden. Disheartening considering the litany of injuries currently plaguing Rockhold. Let's go over them. If we go over Ariel Helwani's Twitter, he actually listed all the injuries. There's an infection in Rockhold's left shin. He sprained his right knee. He actually broke his nose grappling. Unfortunate. Bad luck, however you want to call it. Love the guy or hate him, you wanted to see him fight Chris Weidman again. Stakes might not be as big as the first fight, but there are some that called Rockhold's win in the first fight a fluke. So we're probably going to have to wait a long time before we see them face off again, which is very, very disheartening. Tons of additional boxing news. Well, it's mostly rumors. Biggest rumor coming out right now is Manny Pacquiao possibly taking on Adrian Broner in January at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas, and the winner of that takes on Floyd Mayweather. Apparently, that's a done deal, or it's getting close to being a done deal. We're talking 90% done here, but I'll believe it when I see a trustworthy source talk about it on Twitter or Instagram or something. So for right now, those are just strictly rumors. Floyd is neither confirming or denying what's going on, and I think that's a smart move. The general public is still reeling over Mayweather Pacquiao from 3 years ago, and for him to be somewhat hush-hush about this is the right call. You know, he wants to build that suspense, he wants to build that intrigue, you know, let his plan unfold the way it should. You don't want to rush things. So we could see Broner versus Pacquiao in January, winner of that takes Mayweather. I'm predicting that to take place Cinco de Mayo weekend, where Floyd typically likes to have his fights. Lastly, the fight might be going on right now, I'm not too sure. We got Demetrius Andrade fighting for the vacant WBO middleweight title against a relatively unknown fighter in Walter Kutundakwa, live from, once again, DAZN. Kutundakwa is a relatively unknown fighter who replaced Billy Joe Saunders because Saunders tested positive for a banned substance. So tonight's main event is Demetrius Andrade versus Walter Kutundakwa for the vacant WBO middleweight title of the world. And that's it for news, current events, for the most part. Today's real topic, we're going to talk about HBO boxing. Like I said last episode, this is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. If you haven't heard, a couple weeks ago, HBO made an announcement to exit the boxing industry after a rich and storied relationship dating back over 40 years, everybody. Rich boxing history with HBO and boxing, the relationship together, symbiotic. No more. No longer will you see boxing on HBO programming. So the lineage goes all the way back to Muhammad Ali, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Larry Holmes, Aaron Pryor, Tommy Hearns, who else could I think of? Marvin Hagler, Sugar Ray Leonard, Mike Tyson, Julio Cesar Chavez, Roy Jones Jr., and so on and so forth. You know, quite frankly, I can go on with names forever. I could go on listing names off that made a difference and made an impact on the sport of boxing, especially with a network as big as HBO. Trust me. I really don't have the time to go over each individual monumental fight, but I'll go over everything I've experienced in my life with HBO boxing. So I'll go and start with this. My earliest memory of HBO boxing was when my dad ordered Oscar De La Hoya versus Felix Trinidad. We were actually living in Texas at the time. We just moved from San Jose to Austin, Texas, and my dad had a job transfer over there and invited a bunch of his work buddies to go watch that fight. I remember rooting for Trinidad for some reason. I had no clue what was going on except that I felt the magnitude of the fight at the time. I felt the importance. I knew that it was a big deal. I think it was after seeing everyone who was in attendance and the glitz and glamour of a big-time fight. That's what resonated with me. Another fond memory was watching Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson. You know, I remember the hype big time during that time, the press conference brawl that ensued, and of course the fight. I was what, 10 years old at the time? But at the time I was shocked Lewis beat Tyson, but not only beat him, but finished him early. You know, shortly after this time, I never really watched much boxing. I kept up somewhat, but that's when a little thing called MMA occupied a lot of my time and my attention. This is when Manny Pacquiao entered the scene too, around when I started getting into the UFC. Manny Pacquiao entered the scene. I attribute Manny Pacquiao as the one who made me the fan of boxing that I am today. You know, being Filipino and not really having an athlete to call my own throughout my life, you know, Manny was a breath of fresh air. And I swear every Filipino person I knew thought they were some sort of boxing expert once he arrived, from uncles to people my age, you know, peers, friends, you know, whoever was around watching Manny at that time thought they were some sort of boxing expert. And I was guilty of that too. I thought I knew everything watching Manny Pacquiao fight, from Eric Morales to Marco Antonio Barrera. You know, I thought I knew everything. But just watching Manny wasn't enough for me. Through the power of technology and the advent of YouTube, I was able to see and study HBO's rich boxing tradition. You know, from hearing Jim Lampley commentating fights, you know, to hearing Bert Sugar talk or Larry Merchant on commentary. You know, it was all thoroughly embedded in my mind. You know, and then later additions of Max Kellerman and Roy Jones Jr. to the commentating team. You know, that's what resonated with me as a kid, was watching those guys talk and hearing them talk about the history of boxing and great fights that have happened in the past. That's what stuck with me. And HBO, in my mind, was the premier network for the sport, thanks to all these guys. Harold Letterman and the unofficial scorecards after each round, all of it was very, very important to me. You know, using YouTube and, you know, on demand was fairly new back then. You know, to go back and watch all those fights was almost like a tremendous honor. Just being able to witness all these legendary fights that were, you know, way before my lifetime, way before my generation. You know, being able to see classics like Alexis Arguello and Aaron Pryor, you know, just to name a couple, Buster Douglas, Mike Tyson. It was a pleasure and an honor and pleasure just to watch those fights and not relive them because I wasn't around at the time, but just to experience what was going on, you know, the magnitude and the importance of those fights and the weight that they carried, you know, was very, very important to me. You know, using YouTube and on demand to watch other fights like Arturo Gatti and Mickey Ward, that trilogy. A trilogy full of every single fight in that trilogy was a barn burner, but most notably the first fight. You can't replicate the first fight, but that trilogy in itself holds up today. You know, other fights like Kelly Pavlik and Jermaine Taylor, Roy Jones Jr. versus Antonio Tarver, Bernard Hopkins versus Felix Trinidad, Bernard Hopkins versus Joel Calzaghe. You know, I could go on forever with all these classic fights that I got to witness. You know, when I was into MMA or I wasn't really interested in boxing, I was able to go back on YouTube, search those up, and I was able to watch them. Another thing I wanted to add about HBO Boxing was the 24/7 series. If you guys aren't familiar with the 24/7 series, it was like a documentary style for the build-up, for purpose of building up the fight on pay-per-view. So usually it'd be during the training camp, about a month or so leading into the pay-per-view fight. HBO produced these well-written, beautifully narrated, just... the cinematography was off the charts for these 24/7 shows. And HBO knew how to build up a fight. I think the first one, the first 24/7 that they ever did was for Floyd Mayweather and Oscar De La Hoya. And I ate that all up. You know, that was one of the shows where I felt like HBO Boxing's got a chokehold and then, you know, they got a stranglehold on the boxing game. Another show, HBO Legendary Nights, that gave me in-depth commentary and knowledge to further fuel my knowledge of past fights. So that's why I kind of treat myself as a historian, being able to study shows like Legendary Nights that went over the classic fights that took place in the past. And, you know, I take deep pride in being able to analyze those fights at my age, you know, fights dating back to the 70s, and being able to have my thoughts and opinions on fights like that, you know, going dating back all the way to when Muhammad Ali was fighting or Larry Holmes was fighting. And HBO did a great job of promoting newer talent, you know, because HBO started to bring in guys after Floyd was done or after Manny was done, after Manny left HBO and after Floyd jumped ship from HBO to Showtime. You know, later years of HBO had great, great fighters. You had Andre Ward, Sergey Kovalev, Canelo, Gennady Golovkin, Terence Crawford, Vasily Lomachenko. And all these guys were delivering blockbuster fights. You know, I'm really trying not to miss anybody. You know, I like to list off guys, but I want to make sure that I'm listing everybody that I could think of and give them their due. But those were the guys that carried the torch for HBO Boxing after Mayweather and Pacquiao were done. But why leave boxing, HBO? Why? Why would you leave behind such a rich history being ingrained in the sport of boxing that your network was able to provide to the people? You know, the writing's been on the wall for quite some time. You know, I noticed the 24/7 specials popping up less and less. And among other things, I felt like it was losing the battle to Showtime. I felt the marketing and promotion wasn't there anymore. HBO's focus was on their original programming, and you can't really fault them for that. Combine that with a lack of promotion and with the loss of their roster, Andre Ward being retired, Floyd jumped ship to Showtime, Pacquiao was off HBO and relegated to ESPN and, you know, self-produced top-ranked pay-per-views, Lomachenko and Crawford left, and now all their fights in ESPN, and they're making money doing that, and, you know, more power to them. You know, it's good for us fans to get that exposure, even casual fans to get to know guys like Vasily Lomachenko or Terence Crawford, being able to see them fight for free or seeing them on ESPN Plus exclusively for a monthly price of $5 a month, you know, on a subscription service. You know, it's just unfortunate. It sucks. It really did to hear that news. To see an important franchise like HBO Boxing start to waver. What was once a reliable source for boxing wasn't really there anymore, even when, like, say, we were promoting Canelo or Triple G, you noticed that the writing was on the wall. You know the end was near for HBO Boxing, and it truly sucks. You know, back to the DAZN, and if you guys aren't really that familiar with the zone, it's spelled D-A-Z-N, all in caps. It looks like Dazin or Dazin, but it's pronounced the zone. You know, it's a pretty stupid name, but I guess it works with them. I don't know what the deal is with who chose the name or who's involved with their marketing team or who brainstormed that particular name, but I think it's absolute trash. With services like The Zone and ESPN Plus, you know, the way we view boxing is going to change completely. I mean, it comes with the territory. The TV landscape is changing. It's kind of like music streaming apps and buying physical albums. It's kind of like that relationship. We're not buying CDs anymore. You know, we got Tidal. We got Apple Music. We got Spotify. Almost every single piece of music in our very hands on our smartphone, we could access it and play it at an instance. Boxing's different now. And I currently subscribe to both The Zone and ESPN Plus. Well, The Zone is a free trial that I'm currently trying out because of Bellator airing all their fights, you know, via simulcast with Paramount Network and The Zone. And I wanted to see Anthony Joshua fight as well. And he was fighting exclusively on The Zone. He wasn't with HBO, he wasn't with Showtime, he was only on The Zone. And I pay $5 a month for ESPN Plus, and I was able to see Terrence Crawford last summer. Terrence Crawford's last fight against Jose Benavidez was actually on regular ESPN for everybody to see, so that was, you didn't have to have the subscription to watch that fight. Does this model eliminate pay-per-views? Now, I hope it does. Am I going to miss HBO Boxing? Of course I will. It is only a matter of time until we see Showtime hanging up. But they've been doing a great job and a better job at promoting the sport of boxing as well as their roster of fighters, that they're still drawing attention. They're still drawing money. You know, they got Deontay Wilder. They got that star-studded welterweight roster that they have over there at Showtime. They're not going away anytime soon. You know, I think they're not going to go down without a fight. HBO just folded. They said, fuck it. We're done. You know, Showtime's not going to go down without a fight. They're going to go up against the likes of ESPN. They're going to go up against the likes of The Zone. They're in it to win. That's why they kept their roster intact for the last 4 or 5 years or so. They're still drawing attention. They're still drawing money. They still have a loaded roster. They still have a viable lifespan. You know, who knows what happens next? There is a void. And yeah, it's going to be filled. And I could possibly see HBO coming back in the future. I could see them coming back into the fold. I really can. I just can't get over leaving behind that much history. I can't. You know, for those interested, the last HBO cards are taking place within the next month. You know, we got Danny Jacobs versus Sergey Derevyanchenko this month. And in November, we have Jean-Pascal versus Dmitry Bivol. I'll be tuning in for sure, and we'll see if the network gives HBO Boxing the proper send-off it should have. You know, I'm going to see how they wrap things up. Well, that does it. I'll be back next week. We can talk about UFC 230, break that card down, dissect it and whatnot. You know, we can maybe make some predictions. Who knows? You know, maybe finally have a guest after being without one for so long. Who knows, guys? I'll be sure to keep you updated. Oh, yeah. All my recent episodes are currently on Anchor, but they're also now available on multiple podcast services. This is exciting stuff, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ecstatic. I'm currently on Anchor. I'm currently on Google Podcasts. I'm on Breaker. I'm on Pocket Casts and Radio Public. Last but not least, I'm also available on Spotify now. If you have any of those services, and I know you guys have Spotify, I know a lot of you guys use Spotify, hit that follow button, then the download button, all that good stuff. I know a lot of you have Spotify. I'm on there now. It's crazy. So get on that. I'll be back very, very soon. And I appreciate all the support. And that's it. See you guys.